still feeble from what ailed him, Pinkerton found a wretched, crowded encampment when he arrived at Harrison's Landing in early July. Temperatures soared past 100 degrees, and swarming flies from the James River bottomland drove soldier and beast mad. McClellan's men lived in filth and drank polluted water. By the end of the month, more than 42,000 of them would be on sick call. McClellan set up his headquarters at the Harrison Mansion on Berkeley Plantation, where soldiers strung telegraph lines and a signal station was perched on the roof to communicate by flags to Navy ships on the river. Though harboring private delusions and bitter resentments, McClellan retained his showman's flair, staging grand reviews at Harrison's Landing, firing off gun salutes with the band playing, and putting out propaganda for the public that he had scored a victory over superior forces. Swallowing the line, newspapers like the Washington Evening Star published glowing accounts of the campaign, or, like the New York Herald, excoriated Stanton for not supporting the general. To resume the campaign, McClellan messaged Washington that he now had only 50,000 men and needed 100,000 more. Lincoln found the request absurd and cabled back that it could not be done. Fed with alarming prisoner reports by Pinkerton's team, the Union commander feared the entire Confederate army would now attack him, which was not the case. Lowe's balloons made regular ascents, but detected no rebel activity. Lee, it turned out, was receiving intelligence reports on McClellan as exaggerated as the reports McClellan was receiving on Lee. Confederate spies tracked Union steamers sailing in and out of Harrison's Landing with troops aboard, Lee wrote Davis, concluding that the Yankees had been reinforced and were planning further operations. Chastened by the spy reports and his own battlefield setbacks, Lee decided to leave McClellan alone.